With me today is Representative Carl Albrecht on Castle Country Focus. Thank you, Carl, for being with us today.
No problem, Deland. I enjoy our weekly conversation.
What's been happening in the legislature?
Well, as you know, it's winding down. There's only 11 days left as of today. 2 days this week, a full week next week, and 4 days the following week. So we'll be wrapping it up on March 9th. There's getting to be more and more floor time on both the House and the Senate floor to hear bills. In fact, today we'll have 2 hours this morning and 3 hours this afternoon. And the same tomorrow, and so there'll be more floor time and less committee time. So if someone has a bill, they better start getting with it, or it's going to be too late because of the number of bills that have been filed this year. I got my first bill, House Bill 48, passed the Senate yesterday, so it'll become law if the governor signs it. The other bill that I'm sponsoring is House Bill 358. It's a minor bill that amends some of the rules on relicensing. It's actually called Licensing Information Systems Amendments. It's a Department of Health bill, and it shouldn't be too serious. And I got it past the House Committee Tuesday night, and it moves on to the House floor tomorrow on the consent agenda. So,
tell our listeners what the consent agenda means.
Okay, consent agenda is when you have a bill that has a fiscal note less than $10,000 and it receives unanimous vote in the committee that it's been assigned to. Then you can ask that it be placed on the consent agenda on the floor, which actually speeds the process because there's fewer bills on the consent agenda. Otherwise, it has to go through the reading calendar and get stacked up on the third reading calendar, and it takes more time. So pass a non-controversial bill and get 100% vote in committee. Then you can ask for it to be placed on the consent agenda. It actually speeds up the process a huge amount. It's an interesting process up here. It's been enjoyable for me in my first session. I've enjoyed the association with the other legislators, both representatives and senators. They've been good to me. They've taught me a lot. And the staff up here has been remarkable as well. We had an interesting situation happen on the House floor Tuesday. I can tell you about it was over a human trafficking bill. Representative Ray was carrying that bill, HB 176. The bill actually ended in a tie on the floor. The speaker had gone out and asked for Speaker Pro Temp to take his place. And so everybody had voted but the speaker. And as I mentioned, it ended in a tie, and they had to do a call of the House, which they found the speaker somewhere and brought him back in. And he looked the board over and the bill and gave it a thumbs up and broke the tie. So, talking to some of the other representatives, that only happens rarely, very rarely.
Do you know some of the details of the bill? I mean, are we for or against human trafficking?
It was a bill that if someone is accused and found guilty of human trafficking, invasion of somebody's rights through human trafficking and sex, illegal sex, and all of that type of stuff, the person found guilty could actually be, it could become a capital offense, is what I'm trying to say, I guess, and tried under our existing death penalty laws.
Oh, so, I mean, that's pimping and slavery and all the good
right.
stuff.
And these gun bills, their House has passed a couple of gun bills. One allows 18-year-old college students to carry guns. The argument there was that it would help prevent rape and assault on college campuses. There's another bill that passed the House on Stand Your Ground, so that you don't have to retreat if somebody's coming after you. Stand your ground and use your weapon. And now there's another bill that died in committee the other day on the House side, concealed carry. And I guess it was resurrected in committee yesterday afternoon. It died previously on a 5-5 vote, but yesterday it came out of committee 7-5, which allows people to carry concealed guns in Utah without a permit.
Yeah, that's Lee Perry's bill that he's been pushing.
Yes, and so, you know, I respect Lee. He's a highway patrolman. This bill in the past has had some pushback from the governor's office, so it'll be interesting to see what happens with that on the House floor.
Do you know when that's coming up on the House?
I don't. It'll probably be down the road a ways. Sometimes I'm told during that last week, and maybe even towards the end of next week, they start suspending the rules, and some of these bills move up the ladder and are voted on without committee hearings, so on and so forth, which I didn't know that happened, but that's what I've been told.
Yeah. Yeah, I know Lee Perry. I know the governor vetoed it the first time he introduced it. I know Lee from he's a representative up in Brigham City. And the governor vetoed it, and then this time he added domestic violence to it, so that if you're charged with domestic violence or have a restraining order, stuff like that, that they can actually go in and pull your guns away.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Well, I just I don't want to conflict with the radio station, but those folks can read my reports, my weekly reports that I send out online. Down there on the Emory County Progress newspaper, and I'll be sending them to the Emory Telecom paper as well. And one thing they found up here, they found about another $200 million when the final numbers came in to land. Appropriations committees, executive appropriations committees met the other night, and I was told that evaporated pretty fast. And so we'll be, meeting in our various caucuses to kind of finalize the numbers. And there's a look at some different tax proposals. I don't know if you've read about those. They want to, there's talk in both the Senate and the House to reduce the income tax rate, kind of broaden the base and maybe increase gas tax some or sales on food tax raise that. And so overall they're talking about revenue neutral, the way those taxes come in and fill different buckets and how they're dispersed. Hopefully with their income tax reduction they would broaden the base and not hurt our economy in any way. That's what they're concerned about. Of course they're getting pressure from this Our Schools Now group that wants them to raise sales or income taxes by 7/8%, which is really 17.5% increase. And I don't think there's a legislator up here that, not too many anyway, that wants to do that. So, and if we don't raise substantial monies this session and the next session to show that group that we are interested in helping out, then they will get their signatures and put that on the ballot in November of 2018 and let the citizens of the state vote on it. But I'm not sure, really, Dylan, if the citizens would vote for a 17.5% tax increase, and that would send a message to educators that would be devastating. and it hurt morale, in my opinion. So I think we've got to do some other things. I'm not sure what they are at this point, but we're doing a lot of work up here to figure that out.
Yes. Well, it's over time. I better let you go. So thank you for visiting with us, Carl.
Thank you, Lynn. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Have a good day.